Welcome to the Osir Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Mikael Samuelsson from the University of Cape Town. He recently published an article entitled From Deficit Narratives to Ambidextrous Embeddedness, How High-Tech Ventures Navigate and Transform Hyper-Dynamic Contexts in Sub-Saharan Africa. He co-authored this paper with Susan Nielsen and Badri Solfagari. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor & Francis. Mikael, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper and why did you decide to address this particular topic and what is the key question you aim to answer?
The origin of this project was to some extent empirically driven. So I started working in Philippi, which is a township in Cape Town, so a poor area, basically the murder capital in South Africa. And we saw a growing interest from persons with both education and technology capacity to start ventures in these communities. But they also struggled to do that because they were coming from the outside and they didn't really understand the context. Although they were from South Africa, most of them, and there was just too much variation in the context. So that was empirical, the starting point. And then when we started looking into the literature, there is obviously a lot written about grassroots entrepreneurs, necessity entrepreneurship, things like that, that basically puts food on the table, but not the people that we were meeting. So there was this gap in the literature that we found, at least we think we found, that where high-tech ventures comes into an environment that are hyper-dynamic in a sense, and that over time have not been studied in our view, and that's what we did and we're still doing. And our key question based on that was to basically how do high-tech ventures navigate hyper-dynamic context and what characterizes this embedding process and also longitudinal then over time.
Can you identify the one, maybe two key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
We move beyond static and deficit-orientated accounts and explain how ventures alternately embed, disembed, and re-embed across social, spatial, and institutional dimensions. And that's a much more dynamic approach that we think at least would be more both practically useful and theoretically sound, because it's involves both change, context, and persons. Second, we show that the fundamental role of digital technologies and how they simultaneously deepen local embeddedness while enabling detachment and recombination. In plain English, I suppose, that means how people can go in and out into and out from context with the help of digital technologies.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such questions, and how did you navigate it?
So most of the challenges for me and for us in a team in entrepreneurship research is that a lot of the theories that we use are imported from other sectors. So they're not necessarily developed from an empirical phenomena or towards an empirical phenomena that we are studying. It's coming from somewhere else. And in many cases, also the field went to monolenses, at least I call it that. So you're looking at something on a very, very specific, with a very, very specific focus. And that prevents you from understanding all the other factors that by nature is playing a role into a venture's development over time. So you have the context, for example, that are not necessarily taken in consideration, and that have a bigger impact than the person or vice versa. And then you have, in our case, when you move that context into a township, you have what we called a hyper-dynamic context, because you're not studying a stable environment now. You're studying in a very fluid, very fast-moving, very with a large variation of almost everything from people to technology. And that changes so fast. So you also need to take that into consideration. So from a meta point of view, that was where we ended up coining that hyperdynamic context to use as a framework to study this particular phenomenon. And then from a meta point of view, this is even more tricky. So most of our research are cross-sectional or decent longitudinal, but we follow these ventures from before they became companies, and we're still following them. And in an area where I used to be able to go and buy lunch, and I cannot do it because I'm going to get robbed today. So we need to come up with both structures to longitudinally follow, not to have an impact on our ventures. Also, structure those observations, data collection points, which went from in person to more in online when the safety situation was not safe enough. Then we had to go online, and also you're saving all this data in a coherent place, so it's easy to find, easy to work with. AI over the period actually made that a little bit easier after the fact. But in the beginning, you have files, you have voice files, video files, you have text files, you have all these files that needs to be accessed and analyzed. So at the end, you also need a champion that actually runs this for plus 7 years. So those were the main challenges, I think.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during the data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt? Any surprise or counterintuitive results, something that made you rethink your initial assumptions?
Yeah, so the process is long. So it's going back to my previous response to some extent. It's a long, long process. It's 7 years plus. And that is a problem in itself. You need to be there and engaged on a regular basis, try to be there when things happen, try to actually collect that data. And that in itself, it's in a day-to-day professor life, it's a bit of a challenge. Then the problem in our case came after COVID, because before COVID, even Filippi was decently safe. So you can go there, as I said, you can go and buy your lunch and you're not going to get robbed. After COVID, that security situation deteriorated to going from bad to worse, or worse to bad. And we ended up in a situation where we couldn't even go out there. And then you had to do transfer to an online version. And that obviously became slightly different because you didn't get the flavor, the observations around it, what people were doing on the streets. So at that point, it was, are we collecting the same data? Are we treating them in a similar way? Are we impacting them or are they impacting us in a bad way? But we overcame that. And also it's also hard to stop. When you have a system going, when you can see that people are developing, that you can see this interesting thing happening, you start to the process, even if it's challenging. So you follow them, you get to know them, they get to know you, which is a problem from a research point of view. We don't know how much we actually have an impact on them. They obviously have an impact on us, but we want to have this objective relationship, but over time it's actually impossible to have. So we try to have a method approach where we at least treat that as a potential bias, but we are still people.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently and what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
That is a good question. Based on what I know now and we know now, that you could have done it much more rigorously from the beginning. You could have started with a theoretical lens where you just kept yourself within that area. But we did the opposite, which creates massive amount of information, massive amount of data from everything from what people are thinking to doing to not doing, observational. So we have a lot of work just to make sense of that data. But at the same time, I think we would miss out of a lot of interesting things if we were just, because that was our criticism in the beginning, as you remember. We said that we don't want to be monolens. We don't want to be theoretically driven because we're not sure that theory is actually helping us to understand what we're seeing here. So we took like a grounded theory approach and worked inductively backwards. But it, I think after the fact, it might be more easier to have a more deductive approach. The longitudinal part also, it needs a champion. Somebody actually needs to champion that process, both in terms of funding, resources. And in this case, I was lucky to be institutionally funded and also had access to this place in Philippi where we could go, where we can meet people. So structurally and institutionally and also champion-wise, you need to have those three components. Otherwise, it's impossible to build a longitudinal research project like this. And also, it's also we have people from here, from KTH in Sweden. So it's also a bilateral research project where you need to keep people happy, funded, coming out, traveling, and all of that. If you want to do this, then if you want to do it longitudinal, you should think even longer than longitudinal. So we were thinking 10 years now. Maybe you should think 15 years and build for that. Otherwise, these things mostly, as far as I know, they're not very successful. We still have a lot of data here that we haven't done anything with, which is another challenge to get more people into the research program. But a lot of people think that that's not interesting because it's not their data and things like that. So you all need to overcome that too. But in reality, you will gain so much both personal knowledge and also experience from something like this. So I just want other people to do it and experience that. That would be the best thing.
Thanks a lot, Mikael, for participating to our show and pulling back the curtain on your research process, on your article entitled From Deficit Narratives to Ambidextrous Embeddedness, How High-Tech Ventures Navigate in and Transform Hyperdynamic Contexts in Sub-Saharan Africa. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-erd.com and on the main podcast platforms.